Let's go out and feel everything. If you hold me, I will let you into my dreams. For time is a river rolling into nowhere. We must live while we can, and we drink our cup of laughter. The finer things keep shining through, the way my soul gets lost in you. The finer things I'll feel.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. We are continuing to try to bring really local focus on the COVID-19 pandemic. And I know that we hear a lot on a national level, and I really am so grateful that members of the Alina Health System have been so gracious to tell us about what's going on as much as they can in Hastings and the surrounding areas. And we want to thank Dr. Melody McKenzie. She is on the line with us right now. And Dr. McKenzie, I forgot to even ask what your nice title is again. If you could tell people what that is.
I'm currently the Hastings Primary Care Lead Physician, and I'm also Director of Medical Affairs at Regina. And I appreciate you having me on, Mo. It's wonderful to talk again about this wonderful topic that we're all living right now.
We are all living it, but it seems to me that we are hearing about an uptick in COVID cases around the country. Some of the states I know are even pulling back. I think there's 16 as of today that are pulling back and changing the guidelines and reclosing again, which is not what anybody wants. But what can you say about that, please?
Well, we knew that opening always had risks, and there were guidelines set out by the CDC, Center for Disease Control, about how to do this safely. The states then decided if they would follow that. A lot of them were feeling pressure by people who were unemployed, who had no income, to open up sooner. So a lot of them tried to open up sooner, and unfortunately we're seeing some of the results. So some of that is just the result of us being around more. There was also a lot of guidelines that were set out about wearing masks, social distancing, small groups, and I think everyone who's watched the news has seen the examples of the bars and other places where especially young people finally are able to go out and they're not following the guidelines and they're just around too many people. So this is a virus. It doesn't care what we want. It doesn't care what we think. It just wants to invade other people, and as people are around other people, we're seeing it spread, and it's really unfortunate. COVID's new. Every country's trying to figure out what that balance is. People need to work. People need to get out, but we're seeing what's happening when people just aren't being careful and forgetting that COVID hasn't gone away. We can't wish this away. It is still here.
You know, when people talk about the numbers, though, I hear a lot of people say, well, of course the numbers are higher because we're doing more testing.
So testing is, yes, that's obviously the more we test, the more we'll see. But the other indicators are they look at how many are positive. So when we test people, what is the percentage that actually come back positive? The other things I always look at, so my ritual is to always look at how many people, unfortunately, have passed away. And we know in Minnesota, thankfully, that number has gone way down, which is a testament to what we're doing. We look at how many people are being hospitalized. That is a lag time. So when people get sick with COVID, then they spread it around, and then they get sick, and we see them in the hospital. So that we see still going down in Minnesota. Again, a thankful number here. And then the amount of people in ICU. So we know that as we see the percentage of people testing positive, so not necessarily the entire number, but how many that we test, what percentage of those are positive, as we see that go up, what we know is what we're seeing in some of these other states right now. The hospitalizations are going up, the number of vents that are needed are going up, and that just lags usually by 2 to 3 weeks. So yes, numbers will go up as we test more, but it's not just that we're testing more, it's actually that more people have the virus.
And what exactly is a virus? Let's go back to the basics.
So a virus, for layman's terms, for the little kids, is what we call germs, and so it is something that invades our body and wants to survive, and it survives by invading us. And when it does that, it can cause illness. So the first things we see is our body tries to get rid of this thing that's foreign, as we see the fever and the chills and the body aches and the cough. And that's what a lot of viruses present as and what we deal with. The thing we see with COVID that we all hear about is this late response. And that is where we're seeing so many people getting very ill. It's not the initial virus invading us. It's actually our body's response to it. And this is something that is very dramatic in this virus that we don't typically see in other things such as the flu. So it's completely different than what we usually see with the flu. The flu, people come in, they get sick. We tell them go home, go to bed. You might be in bed for 2 to 3 weeks. But we can really tell that progression. This was completely different because we saw all these people get sick, and then we thought that's what would happen. And then we saw 2 to 3 weeks later, some of these people would come back very, very ill. And that's where these people are dying, and that's where these people are getting ill and ending up on the ventilators and having these poor prognoses, is that late response to the virus.
So they will get sick, and then they just don't get better, and then they get even sicker? Is that what that looks like?
For some of them, yeah. So some of them are very ill early on. Some of them have no symptoms early on. Some of them are sick very early on, and then they get better. And then there's that 5% of people that seem to get really ill later on. And some of them just progress, and some of them are doing okay for a week or two or three and then get very ill with the virus. And that's what worries all of us, is we don't have a great way of predicting. We can tell sometimes, especially if someone's early on in the disease, more ill with the virus, but we're still learning. This is a new virus. We've never seen it before. If you think about it, we think it was here maybe in January or February. March is when we all started talking about it. We're still really in the beginning stages of understanding a lot of what this virus does. We know a lot about it, but we're not good at predicting yet.
You know, is the flu a virus as well?
Yes, absolutely. And we know that the flu, it makes lots of people ill. Flu season is usually, you know, late fall to early spring, and then it kind of is still around, but we don't even think about it. We have a vaccine, so we don't see a lot of people dying from it. We are able to help protect a lot of people, but we still see people die. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 in a year can die of influenza. If you think of what COVID has done, essentially in 3 months, we're at over 125,000 deaths.
So it's a virus as well. And with the flu vaccination, it seems like it's kind of a guess every year what kind of flu strain is going to be around. So how will we know how to have a vaccination for COVID? Is it more targeted?
Well, we're hoping that COVID will be one vaccine fits all. So we're hoping that, you know, we will have a vaccine that we can give that will cover it. Influenza has different strains, and so each strain has its own little variation of which year it's going to come around, and so they have to try and predict based on when they think it'll come and then create a vaccine. What we're hoping with COVID is that it will be a one vaccine that will cover it. Will it be 100%? Probably not, because not all vaccines are, and that's when it'll be really important to get a lot of people vaccinated. You know, we talk about with vaccines, herd immunity, and that really is the important thing. If we can vaccinate enough people, we don't have to vaccinate necessarily everyone, but the more people we vaccinate, the more people are protected, so that, for example, if I had COVID and most of the people around me had vaccinated for it and were immune, I can't spread it around. If I'm in a room and no one's vaccinated, this virus just has a little party with everyone that's in the room because they're not protected. So it'll be really important if and when we get the vaccine that as many people as we can are vaccinated, to protect those who either can't get vaccinated or those who choose not to.
So you mentioned herd immunity. There has been a lot of interest in the way Sweden approached COVID-19. Does herd immunity work?
Well, everyone is watching Sweden. Every other country and Sweden itself is trying to decide what they did and why they did it and whether it was the right decision. There are a lot of people who are critical of what Sweden did. I think they went through a scientific reason for doing it, and they were very thoughtful. Their death rate is still higher than almost every other country. Their death rate was at 52 per 100,000 people. Right now, the U.S. is at 38, and we might surpass Sweden. they did try and do herd immunity. They were very thoughtful about it. They were very upfront about why they were doing it. They asked people at high schools and colleges, they shut down, they let the younger kids go to school, they let people go to work, but they told people to social distance. So they didn't have crowded bars, they didn't have crowded restaurants, they asked people to eat outside, they asked people to wear masks. So their numbers are, they're not great, they're better than other places, but they're worse than others, and we don't know what it'll mean long term. We don't know how long immunity to COVID will last. With all of these people that got sick, will they be immune next week, next month, 6 months, next year? We don't know. Again, it's a new virus and we don't know. And that's the concern we all have, is what will happen. So antibody testing is always asked about. I get patients every day saying, you know, I was sick in March, I'm sure I had COVID, can I have an antibody test? And right now, Allina hasn't chosen to do that. The Red Cross is doing it for some people who are donating so that they can see if they can harvest their plasma to give us to other patients. But we don't know what those antibody numbers mean. We don't know what number means you're immune. We don't know how long that immunity will last. I tell patients, even if I have a number, if someone can give me a number of what your antibodies are, I don't even know what to tell you that means. It means you have some antibodies. But I don't know if it means you're immune, and I don't know if you'll be, more importantly, will you be immune in 1 week or 1 month or 3 months? Mm-hmm. So just because we have antibodies, it doesn't give us a license to feel like we're safe. We're not invincible just because we do an antibody test and it shows we have some antibodies.
In the past, when there's been a new virus that comes along, when do you find out those things? Is it a year? Does it vary by virus?
Yeah, and I can't even, it would vary by virus, but I can't even tell you. We haven't had a new virus like this in a long time, but it'll take months, if not years, to know.
Well, you mentioned immunity tests, and then I know there's also just the plain old COVID test. Has that recently changed where more people are able to get that?
Right. So we started way back, Allina started COVID testing back in March. Again, that seems like a lifetime ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Governor Walz has been very vocal about the need to test because, again, it's knowledge, how much virus is around, and it's important for us for planning and for knowing and for quarantining and contact tracing to try and contain this virus. We can't get rid of it. We have to try and contain it. So we continue to do curbside testing. Our tent has moved, so anyone in Hastings that's driving around, it's now on the backside of our frontage clinic near Walmart. We moved it back up here because we just did some rearranging with the specialists and it just made more sense to move it up here. So we continue to test. We were one of the only sites through Allina that does continue to test even on weekends. We have some wonderful providers who have offered to do that through the weekends. So we do, I think today, probably 60 tests on the weekend. It might be as low as 30, often 40 or 50 tests a day just locally here in Hastings, just through Allina. I know I've heard that CVS does some testing through their drive-through pharmacy. I'm sure there's some other local places in town, but, you know, I work for Allina, so I know what Allina is doing. There's county testing is done sometimes. We know the state has offered some testing for asymptomatic patients, especially after the protests that went on, just so that we can try and get a handle on what is there and also be proactive. If we see those numbers go up, we can do something early versus waiting until the ICU beds are full or we don't have enough ventilators for patients. We want to be proactive and try and contain it as best we can.
So if you think you've had an exposure, it's pretty easy to get a test or not?
Yeah, there is. And there's, so the hardest thing is, if you have an exposure, should you get tested and when do you get tested? Because the test looks for, do you have the virus at that moment that you are tested? And we know that patients who go on to have COVID can have a test when they've tested people on multiple days, could have a test that's negative and then the next day be positive. So we always have to be careful. When someone has an exposure, the best thing, if it's a close exposure, is quarantining, because some people don't have symptoms. You could test negative today but still shed the virus tomorrow, even 12 hours later. So for close exposures, if someone's really had a close exposure, like a family member, or they were in a close room with someone for hours on end and that person had COVID, we actually ask those people to quarantine. Testing is good to know, but we always have to remember, it's, do you have that virus at the moment? So it's a reassuring thing, especially if you have symptoms, it's perfect. You wake up and, do I have allergies? My throat is sore, my nose is running, or do I have COVID? Perfect time to test. If you were around someone a week before and you find out they had COVID and you want to visit your grandmother and there's a need that you absolutely have to, yes, you can get tested, but you still have to remember it's not a guarantee. And that's why social distancing is so important, that wearing the mask is so important, and just trying to be aware. We can't ask everyone to stay in their houses forever. We're going to go visit people, but minimize our exposures. Try and minimize when we're at parties where there's large amounts of people. Ideally, don't do it, but if it's a big family gathering and you've decided to do it, be very thoughtful about it. Try and keep the separate little families in their own little tables, and do social distancing of 6 feet, even if you're outside, if you can. You know, we don't want people yelling at each other and singing at each other, because we know that that spreads the virus more if they happen to have the virus and they don't know. So we have to be thoughtful. We can't be paranoid and stay home, but we also just have to be very careful.
Has there also been some additional symptoms that have now come out that people can look for?
I think you're probably asking about the GI symptoms like diarrhea.
Yes.
So that's been one. We know that a lot of people who have diarrhea have a fever with it as well, but it's not unreasonable if you have diarrhea to get tested. So the fever, the chills, the body aches, the headaches, all of that I think we all know, but diarrhea and nausea has been included. And again, I just encourage people, if they think there's any chance, Governor Walz has made sure that it would be covered for anyone, even if they don't have insurance. So people should just get tested. Knowledge is power, and this is how we're going to keep these wonderful numbers. I mean, we look at Minnesota, and we know the numbers will go up a little bit. But right now, we are doing so much better than every state, so we have to be careful. We don't want to be the next one on the news as the worst state and the one with the highest rates going up of COVID. You know, we should be proud of what we've done, and we need to continue to be cautious.
And so that's really a call to everybody, especially people that maybe have relaxed their standards a little.
Yes. Well, we've all relaxed our standards probably somewhat. I don't think anyone's doing what we were doing in March.
Mm-mm.
But we just have to be thoughtful. We have to say, you know, is it worth doing this? Can I do it in a safer way? Again, if you're gathering with people, can you just social distance a little bit? Bring your own food instead of everyone sharing each other's food. Just being thoughtful.
May I ask what your personal life looks like?
My husband says I'm not much fun right now, but, you know, I did join some neighbors the other day. It was one group, but we had our own table, and we stayed 6 feet away, and, I mean, I'm just cautious. I just have to be cautious, because I know I've seen COVID. You know, we know how sick people can get. We know how badly people can get ill, and we can't predict even some people who are healthy. So I go out, but I don't go out a lot, and I wear a mask when I'm out, and I try and socially distance when I can. I do have a friend who comes over, and we, you know, sit around, but we sit 6 feet apart. I don't have a lot of people over in my house. We sit outside. We just try and do what's right, because, again, I don't want to give someone COVID if I get it, and if they have COVID, I don't want to get it.
No kidding. Dr. McKenzie, thank you so much. Dr. Melody McKenzie always has such wonderful information to share with our listeners. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, Mo.
Stay safe. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.